Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamualaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos. Hey, my name is Jed Lee. Welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We are beaming out to you and the entire world from the beautiful and loving neighborhood of Reedville, located in beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. We are so very honored and so very happy that you are joining us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. We do that by sharing fun, thoughtful, and thought-provoking conversations with fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. You can join us in our mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know that they can hear us on the WREB AM/FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Podcast Addict, Amazon Music, CastBox, Audible, Player FM, YouTube. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Really wonderful show for you today. First up, Michelle McLean is here to celebrate her middle grade graphic novel. It's called Abilities. Later in the show, Elizabeth Lizu is here to celebrate her early chapter book called My Little Cousin. Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading with Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading with Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right, you heard me right, 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook. Wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy. Grab your favorite bedtime book and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. Hey, this episode of Reading With Your Kids is brought to you by AspireDrinks.com. Hey, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever wanted a little extra energy, but not the kind that makes your heart race or leaves you crashing an hour later? Well, that's exactly why I want to tell you about Aspire Drinks. You'll find them at AspireDrinks.com. Aspire calls itself a healthy energy drink, and honestly, that description really fits. Instead of loading you up with sugar or extreme caffeine, Aspire delivers a gentle, steady boost with 80 milligrams of natural caffeine from green tea and guarana. That's about half the caffeine of most energy drinks, enough to help you stay focused without the jitters or the crash. It's also zero sugar, zero calories, and zero artificial additives, which makes it a great choice for parents, teachers, and anyone trying to make healthier choices while still getting things done. And get this, it actually tastes great. Light, crisp, and lightly sparkling with flavors like sweet cherry, raspberry acai, mango lemonade. That's what I love. No heavy aftertaste and easy on the stomach. Aspire is packed with B and C vitamins, biotin, and ginger. And it's vegan, gluten-free, keto-friendly, really designed for real life. And just for Reading With Your Kids listeners, you can get an exclusive discount of 20% off. That's the highest discount available when you shop at AspireDrinks.com and use our promo code READ. That's READ at AspireDrinks.com. Healthy energy done right. Join us right now from not too far away from our Reedville studios. Our guest is here today to celebrate her debut graphic novel. It's called Abilities. Please welcome to the show author, illustrator, special educator. I think she has an S on her chest somewhere. Michelle McLean. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted to have you on. I have a special affection for special needs teachers, as people who listen to the show know. My beautiful wife taught special ed in the Boston Public Schools for 34 years. It's funny listening to her friends talk about it now that they're retired. They sit down and they go, I did 34 years. I did 30 years. And it's like, did you guys serve like a prison sentence? Is that what I'm hearing?
That is so relatable. I've done 10, so, and I'm still serving.
Well, before we talk about the state of education and how difficult it is to be a teacher these days, tell us a little bit about Abilities. I met Michelle at the KidCon in Portland, Maine, and I really loved her graphic novel. These are a special group of kids.
They are. They really are. Abilities is a graphic novel. It took me 5 years to make. The reason I kind of came up with the idea of making a graphic novel is because I work with kids with special needs. I work with kids with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, and social emotional challenges. And they would always come to my class just so low and down on themselves. And I learned that they really didn't understand what disabilities they had. And when I was looking for a book or a resource or something that they would enjoy, I couldn't find anything, which was really frustrating. And I also noticed there was nothing with humor in it too. These kids just felt like they were so dumb, and that's not true. They have strengths and they have weaknesses. And there's just nothing out there, which was so frustrating for as a special educator. So I always loved art. I always loved drawing cartoons, and I also struggled in school. I was always kind of in the back of the room drawing rather than listening to the lesson. But I kind of used this strength to put together this book for my students. The book follows four different characters of four different disabilities, and it shows the challenges and the strengths of having a disability. And at the end, the four characters develop a strong friendship, and they end up entering into the academic competition. And you'd have to read to find out if they won. But I definitely put a lot of heart into this graphic novel. I know kids. I'm with kids all the time. I know their humor. I try to make it funny as much as I can. So far I've been hearing great things about it. But I am self-published. So thank you so much for having me on the show, because I'm trying to get the word out of my book to a larger audience. So, yeah.
Well, you're very welcome here. And we love indie and self-published authors. When we started Reading With Your Kids 8 years ago, that was who we could have on. We're folks who were struggling to get folks to get noticed. Now that we're at the point now where we have folks like LeVar Burton and Kate DiCamello, their publicists, reaching out to us, I could easily sit back and say, no, but we don't need the indie authors. But I think self-published and indie books are fantastic. And there are lots of authors who are traditionally published who also either started off as indie authors, or they'll have one book published traditionally and the next book published independently. So, you know, the fact that a book is self-published does not, as far as I'm concerned, does not speak to me to the quality of the book. You have to check out the book.
Please. Yeah. Is it okay if I go into next steps? What we're planning on next?
Well, first let's talk about the characters. You said that there are four characters. Who are they, and what are their abilities?
Absolutely. So Daniela, she's kind of a representation of who I was as a learner growing up. Daniela has dyslexia, so she struggles with reading. She learns best through visuals. That's her weakness, is reading, but her strengths are she loves decorating and she loves art. She's a great and fantastic artist. Then we have Shelby. Shelby's actually the main character. I probably should have started with her. Shelby, we learn about her journey in the beginning of the book, where we learn that she was kind of like given away from by her mom to the foster care system. And she gets adopted by two great parents, and she transitions to a public school. But she has a lot of emotions and she gets upset easily just because of the trauma of her past. And the reader can kind of learn her story, and we learn that she's not good at taking tests or quizzes, and this new environment is very difficult for her. And then we have Ethan, who I feel like a lot of my students this year have been able to relate to. Ethan has ADHD. He can't sit still. He's very active. But the characters went to his basketball game, and he's like the star basketball player. And that's something we commonly see with kids with ADHD. It's usually school's so challenging for them because they can't sit like for a lesson or retain information. But I'm just thinking some of my students right now, if I give them a basketball, if I tell them to run a few laps, they're awesome and they're stars. So so strengths are sports, but his weaknesses are academics. Mm-hmm. And then we have Austin, and Austin has autism, and he struggles socially. He struggles socially with connecting with people. He's lucky where he ends up connecting with the three other characters. But his strength is math. He's fantastic at it. And I even make a comment in the book about how he's better at the math than his support teacher. So those are the characters and their strengths and weaknesses.
I love it. Hey, quick question. You don't necessarily need to know the answer, even have the answer. A few years back, I had someone who wanted to be on the show came on. He was from Southeast Asia, and he said, you know, kids who speak and read Mandarin, they don't have dyslexia. So he had some interesting theories because, you know, in Mandarin, there's no phonics. You're not sounding out words. You're looking at a single character that represents a word. He didn't come on the show because he made some rather inappropriate comments on social media and wasn't kind to women. So we said, we'll just count him. But I thought that the theory was interesting. And any thoughts on that? Would that be something that you'd want to look into to see if that had any merit?
I have no idea about that. But that's what dyslexia is. It's being able to decode words, and there's different types of dyslexia as well. But, I mean, that is interesting to think there wouldn't be dyslexia in a way.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way, and I've never gotten this question, but I will definitely look into it and definitely like talk to some of the reading specialists about that.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, and I had a couple other reading experts, and they were familiar with the person, and they didn't disregard, you know, just throw his ideas out the window. One of the things that I really love is that as you're introducing the characters, you're talking about the challenges they have, but also you're talking about the abilities and their super abilities. And I think that's really important. As parents, as teachers, all of our kids, if they have challenges, they're also going to have things that they do really well. And we can't let those challenges overshadow the things that they can do well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of do you want me to tell you a funny story?
Sure, absolutely.
That just kind of goes with that.
Uh-huh.
I have a kid who, like, social emotionally, he's just been very, like, sad. But I know this kid loves animals and he loves reptiles, right? So he now just, like, has this cast on his hand. And we don't know. I haven't actually talked to the parents, but, like, I think he can write. He's choosing when he wants to write. So he's advocating to the ELA teacher. He's like, I can't write because of my hand. And the science teacher that's right next to his room lost like a cricket, and the cricket ended up hopping into the ELA class that I was in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, I said the student's name. I'm like, there's a cricket in here. And I saw him from like when he saw the cricket, he's holding his hand, like, I can't write because of my hand. When he saw the cricket, I just see him jumping at it with his hands, like trying to scoop it, finally gets the cricket. And he goes, I'm going to go bring it to the science teacher. And I'm like, oh, and then another student next to me is like, now his hand is fine. Right. Like, yeah. Like he really didn't, well, he has the short, I don't know if the hand thing is real, but his priorities are like, he wants to get the cricket and get the animals. Like, and then you're just like, who's he going to be when he's older? He's probably going to be end up like working, I don't know, at Yellowstone or at a zoo. Like that's who he is. And it's like, it can be so, I have these meetings and parents are just so upset because their kid's not doing well in ELA class or sorry, in writing or reading class. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he just doesn't like it. Like it stinks that he's getting a bad grade, but he just doesn't like it. When he finds what he likes, which is animals, when he pursues that, he's going to be fine. He'll figure it out. And, I do think teachers know that and they have stress too of like the common core, right? Like they have things that they have to teach. And when kids aren't buying into it, it can feel like devastating that you're not helping this kid. And, but like just through my years of doing this so far, I'm just like, you can't, you know what I mean? You can't force them to do it them to like it. And it's just, I know you, I don't want to say like moving them along, but like understanding like that's just not what they're interested in. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And they're going to be fine. Yeah. I always had this teacher that I used to work with, and we would have these intense meetings about a kid, and he'd be like, once the kid goes to college and knows what they want to do, they're going to be fine. And I do believe that about a lot of the kids that I work with. Like once they find what they love, they're going to pursue it and be fine. So,
yeah, I think one of the things that frustrated my wife, and it was more frustrating as she went along. I think early in her career, she was able to do something like, you know, having that kid that she knows, loves animals. And is really interested in animals and whatnot. And she knows this kid is not going to read a fairy tale. He's not going to read, a geography book, but he's going to read an animal book. So I can just bring in animal books. And as the regulations and things came in and there was less and less ability for her to be creative and to tailor her plans for the kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. Curriculum what's so hard about like when they change the curriculum, it's like once you feel like you've mastered the curriculum, they then change it again. You know what I mean? And you're like, all right. And it's like, part of me is like, this is such like a business, like mm-hmm. that we don't even think about the fact that like they're changing it because they want districts to buy it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. And like, yep.
But yeah, no, I definitely relate to your wife. The science department and a lot of science departments in the state of Massachusetts have a new curriculum, and it's been a like hard just trying to figuring out like the special ed, like individualized instruction with this new curriculum, because it feels like there isn't any. And teachers are just like, so I have this new curriculum, but then I also have to like do all of like the accommodations and modifications and things on my own. So I'm learning this new curriculum and I have to do this, but I've already have like 20 years of experience doing this other curriculum that I know that I've created through so many years. You know what I mean? Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Oh, lived it with, you know, my beautiful wife. You said it. We were finding it was like every 8 years. It seemed like every 8 years they would come in with something, and it's like, hey, kids, the phonics thing, it ain't working for us, so we're going to do this other thing, the whole language thing. And then 8 years of that, and it's like, well, the whole language thing isn't – we got a new idea. We call it this, but it's just – it's phonics again. It's, you know, with a different name on it. And
and they're getting their money, the companies, you know what I mean? And everyone's well-intended. Like, everyone's like, this is what it is. This is going to fix kids. It's like – I used to, when I was a young teacher, I thought that, right? I was like, oh my gosh, this new curriculum is going to fix kids. And then you like have more years and you're just like, you're not going to fix them. Like they are who they are. You're going to help them grow and mentor them. And you are going to teach them skills. Like I hate to say that I've not taught my kids. Like that's not true. I've taught them skills. Are they like not perfect at it? No, but
yes. No, I think it's, one of the things that's frustrating is that we recognize, like with special ed, we recognize, well, not every kid learns the same.
Yes.
But we're not able to take that knowledge and apply it to a classroom where it's like, the phonics isn't working for everybody, so we're going to get this new thing in. Well, that's not working for everybody. It's like, okay, so let's use curriculum A for the kids it's working for. Let's use B for the kids it doesn't work for. And if there's some kids that A and B don't work for, let's find C. Let's treat these kids like individuals.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's so hard trying to get everyone on the same page with like, there's just so many moving factors.
Right. Yeah. You have an awful lot of passion. Have you always been this passionate about education?
That is a good question. I don't know if passion's the right word, but yeah, no, I guess I am. I have a lot of passion for kids and just like in individuality. I think that's what I have a passion for. I have a passion for knowing that like brains work differently and that kids learn differently and that's okay. For me to overall say that I have a passion for education, because education is so broad, right? There's so many different things, but I have a passion for students and I have a passion for the relationships that I've made. Like just growing up, I grew up with, with disabilities in my family. I also had a disability and struggled in school. And then I started working with a population of kids that struggled in school. And I'm just like, it feels like it's broken. You know what I mean? Like, how come everyone just feels like in where I grew up and like who I am and like who I'm working with, how come everyone just feels so broken all the time? And so I definitely think I had a passion of just like proving, trying to change that. And like, just, this is like a book of me, something that I wish I had when, I know everyone says this, like as an author, something I wish I had when I was a kid. But like, if I had this book when I was a kid, I would know my disability, identify with this character, and then just know that like, oh, the things that I think are wrong with me are actually fine. So.
Yeah. I love that. As an author, illustrator of a graphic novel, it's funny. I had, two interviews 1 week a few years ago, and they just happened to be illustrators of graphic novels, very different graphic novels. And I was interviewing the first author, and she wrote a really cute graphic novel about a character that was a slice of pizza. And, I was asking about the inspiration for it, and she said, well, part of the reason I created this character is because I knew I was going to have to draw about 300 or 400 different illustrations. So I want to make it as easy as possible. So that's why this character is just a slice of pizza with arms on it. And a few days later, I was talking to a woman who had been commissioned to illustrate a graphic novel about ancient Greek history.
Wow.
And had to be very detailed. And she was telling me how difficult it was. Was that something that kind of entered into your mind as you were beginning this journey? Or did you just kind of find out as you went along?
I'd say I found out as I went along, but also like I wanted the characters to look like the kids in a way. Mm-hmm. They mean. So, I think that did have, I did care about making them have a lot of detail. And this was like this is another thing I have a passion for. I had a passion for art, right? And I never knew how to incorporate my passion for art into like the real world. You know what I mean? Like I went to school and it was like, if you get an art degree, you're like, what are you going to do with that? And that's always what I got. And I go, I have no idea. I can draw these cartoons. I can draw these people, but like, what am I going to do with that? You know what I mean? So, it was kind of nice. It felt like, I don't want to use the word fake because that sounds corny, but like, it's funny that like, no funny, that's not the right word either. I went into special ed because I was I cared about kids and I cared about that message. But then through that job, I realized a problem, which is there's no representation of these kids anywhere that uses their humor and like tells them what they have. You know what I mean? And, so that's when this is also so silly, but like it was during COVID. So I'm bored out of my mind. And I was 20. How old was I? Was I 26? I was 26 at the time, or 27, and I'm bored out of my mind. And my husband's bored out of his mind, and I'm like frustrated with remote learning. I'm like, this isn't working. Like, I can't, I'm not teaching my kids in the way I should be. Like, I need to be there with them. Like, these are, you know what I mean? And I was so mad. And I remember I went to bed and I slept and I just had like this dream that I made a graphic novel. I know that sounds so silly, but I woke up and I was like to my husband, I was like, I think I'm going to make a graphic novel. I think I figured out how to use like my passion of art because I always wanted to use it, but I didn't know how. And he's like, do you have any idea what you're going to do? And I was like, I have no idea. So I made so many mistakes when I was putting together this book. My husband is an art director. So he was like, if you are serious about this, I think this is a great passion project because you're driving me crazy during COVID. And I'm like, great. So like, what do I need? And he got me an iPad and, he was supportive. He like got me graphic novels. Cause like the genre too, like not like a lot of adults know what graphic novels are. So he got graphic novels and we kind of like looked at like, what are like the best-selling graphic novels? Like, what do people want? And yeah, no, he helped me a lot with like the layout and stuff like that for the pages. I forget what your original question was. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm just going. You fine if I keep going?
Keep going. We love it.
All right. So he like helped me like figure out the layout for the pages. And then I drew about 20 pages. And what happens with art when you're drawing on an iPad is you get better at it. So then I got to the 40 pages and then I went back to my 20 pages and I was like, this is awful. So then I started redrawing all those, you know what I mean? So it was a passion project in the way of like, not only was it passionate for my students, but it was passion for me to do this art, you know what I mean? And it was a lot of fun. And then I have a close friend named Haley. She lives in San Francisco. And throughout my child, well, when I was like in high school, anytime I had a big paper due, I'd always give it to my friend Haley, being like, can you fix this? And she'd be like, oh my goodness, Michelle, like, what is this? And she would fix it and make it better. And guess what I did with this book? I go, can you fix this? And she's like, okay. And she was the best voice to like help edit and to help make develop these characters. Like, I love her as a person. She really does advocate for people and cares about people so much. And I like know her journey in high school too. And it wasn't smooth or easy for her as well. So I knew that she was like the second voice I needed to. And I felt like she was the most, she understood Shelby, who's my main character, her voice the most too, where I understood like more Daniela, like some of the side characters a little bit more. But yeah, no, she took my book and then she, gave me so many edits. I essentially had to like restart a lot of like the pages and just do it all over again. But I was like, what she gave me was better than what I had originally. And I think she just made the story like awesome. And like, I can't believe I did it. You know what I mean? But like, it's a passion project for sure. And yeah.
That's wonderful. I think, it was either right at the beginning of the interview or before we hit record, you were mentioning that there's going to be a sequel to Abilities.
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. I don't know how long that this is going to take, potentially another year, but it's going to have the characters go to Washington, D.C. on a field trip. They're in seventh grade in this book, so they're going to be moving to eighth grade. Uh-huh. And I'm definitely going to have them face new challenges and, but also show their strengths. And, I definitely care about them finding their passions too, during this book too. So, I don't want to spoil anything because it's everything's still fresh. I'm on page 98 of just like the black and white, sketch, but like the story could totally change once I give it to my friend Haley, you know what I mean? So very early. But yeah, again, just it's been nice to go back to drawing and breaking my arm while drawing, but like going back to drawing and figuring out what I want my characters to be challenged with next. And it's funny because why do I keep saying funny? I'm living these experiences with kids right now, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I'm like seeing it and like I sometimes don't even know, but like I get inspired or I think of like, wow, like this, like for example, Ethan, who has ADHD, he's gonna be struggling in math class and he's gonna be failing the class and he might not be able to stay on his basketball team, right? I have a kid right now who is struggling with, he has ADHD and he's struggling with the math. And I'm like, I need to put that in there. And it's been great, not great, but like I'm living the experiences with the kids. And that's been a huge motivator for and helpful in just coming up with the next story.
So. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you have an open invitation to come back to celebrate that book when it's ready. You were mentioning that you strove to put a lot of middle grade humor in the books. Did 6, 7?
Oh my!
And all.
No, I know. I've embraced it at this point. So I'm teaching special ed math too, and just to tell you a funny story about 6, 7. Okay. Everyone's like, do they do it? I'm like, of course they do it nonstop. But it's worse than you think it is. Like, you think it's bad. I'm like, it's way worse. Because what happens, it happens when I least expect it too. I'll just hear a, when I give them a worksheet, right? And they're doing the worksheet. And then someone will be like, hey, look at number 5. And I'm like, what's wrong with number 5? And then the answer ends up being 6, 7. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But then sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Like, look at number 6. Okay. The answer is 65. They're like, I know. Plus 2 more, 6, 7. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's nonstop.
You have to go in there one day and they go 6, 7. You go 13. Fun stuff. When I spent 35 plus years presenting educational magic shows at schools around the country. I remember there was one, at one point I was talking about about standing up for others if they're being bullied. And I said, we kind of have a duty to stand up for others and make sure everybody feels included. And you hear the kids in the front go, he said duty.
Oh my gosh. I know some adults that will still laugh at that, though, but yeah.
Hey, tell everybody, please, where they can go to find out more about abilities and find out a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so if you go to Amazon, if you just type in abilities, Michelle McLean, I'm the first one that pops up. My graphic novel's there. Also, please, please, please follow me on Instagram. I am... abilities graphic novel. I'm updating events that I'm going to, and I will be updating progress on the second book. So if you want if you need to know or if you want any information on me, that's where to find me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that is really fantastic. Check it out. And one thing I just want to make sure I say that I made a mistake. My son is probably around your age and great kid. Loved graphic novels and anime, and cool. I supported that. I would go out and we'd buy him, and I'd go out on the road and I'd come home with some anime or whatever that would sit, you know, you couldn't find in Boston. But I didn't understand that he was actually reading literature. When he was reading his graphic novels, it was good reading, good literature. And every once in a while, I would go in his room and go, dude, could you please read a book without a picture in it? So don't make the same mistake I made. If your kids are into graphic novels and they're reading graphic novels, they're reading and celebrate that.
They really are. Yeah.
We've had a great time speaking to the author and illustrator of Abilities. It is the debut middle grade graphic novel from our guest, Michelle McLean. Hey, Michelle, thanks so much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you.
This episode of Reading With Your Kids is sponsored by Ramble Office. You know, before I tell you about Ramble Office, let me tell you about what travel used to look like for me. When I take the Reading With Your Kids studio on the road, it was like a lot. I had one box for the mixer, another case for microphones, a satchel for my laptop, cables everywhere. And I always felt like I was forgetting something. That's why Ramble Office really clicked with me. Ramble takes everything I used to juggle, tech, gear, personal stuff, and puts it into one smart, great-looking unit that's designed to be a mobile office, not just luggage. Everything has a place. Everything stays protected. And when you get to where you're going, you're ready to work. Instead of digging through bags or repacking your life every time you move, Ramble keeps your setup organized and ready to deploy. Travel days stop being chaos and start being productive. It's sleek, modern, built for people whose work doesn't stop just because they're on the move. And if your job follows you, whether that's podcasting, teaching, consulting, or creating, Ramble is worth a look. Go to RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, all one word, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com. Use the promo code READ, R-E-A-D, and receive 5% off any product. It's exclusive for Reading With Your Kids listeners. Check it out today, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, promo code READ.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by CBC Funding. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your structured settlement, annuity, or pending lawsuit? It's true. If you are receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount delivered immediately, then you need to call CBC Funding. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities, they're designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years. For many of you in need of money today, this simply does not work. If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding. Here's the number.
800-442-0665. 800-442-0665. That's 800-442-0665.
Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration. Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork spicy Chicago fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com, promo code READ to get 20% off, because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. Read, grill, repeat. Join us right now from the nation of Kuwait. Our guest is here today to celebrate her Cadence Faith Adventure Series. The second book is out. It's called My Little Cousin. Please welcome to the show, Elizabeth Lizu. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much, Shed. So happy to be part of the show.
I'm delighted that you're here. Kuwait, what? Is this middle of the night for you? Are you 6 or 7 hours ahead of us here in the East Coast of the United States?
It is 9 p.m. It's 9:10 p.m. here. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for speaking to us at such a late hour. Happy to have you on. Tell me about Caden and his little cousin.
Right. So, this is My Little Cousin is the second book in the series of Caden's Faith Adventures. Mm-hmm. So my first book was Caden's Adventures with Faith, right? And it's a story about a little boy who's trying to understand what faith is through, you know, his daily adventures that happens with him in school, at home, with his family, and so on. And in a way that he can, through his experiences, he learns that he can trust God and he has a purpose in life and so on. So when I wanted to write the next book, so I was like, what do I write about? So I was just brainstorming. And the number of feedback that came in is like, we want to read more on Caden. So then I thought, okay, so let's make it a series, right? So then we have a couple of books with the same character. So that's how I thought to write about for My Little Cousin. And mm-hmm. And again, this is on the idea, the seed of thought that came in was mainly from the feedback that came in from my first book, where parents, young parents, they said that if you're writing about Caden again, please do add a little sibling. Because we like the way you're trying to, show how to you know, get closer, and the essential values, how to build essential values. But yeah, and there's a lot of sibling rivalry and sibling, you know, what happens. We all know what it is to have a sibling at home. Mm-hmm. So how do we, you know, practice faith? How do we practice being a good child, goodness, without being saying be good, you know? So mm-hmm. So that's where I thought, okay, having a sibling, introducing a sibling without changing the age of Caden is difficult. So keeping the same age, I thought, all right, so let a little cousin come in. So who's coming over to stay with Caden. And cousins also are so much part, an integral part of our life, just like next to siblings, right? Mm-hmm. And we've all had, in our childhood, we have had cousins stay over, we stay over. And there are things that we don't like about them, and they don't like about us. But at the end of day, we are all one, you know, that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. so it is something that emotion is something that we all can connect to. So mm-hmm. I felt that was important in our children out there. So I thought, right.
Yeah, the relationship you have with cousins can be so very important. I grew up in a neighborhood where most of my family on both the maternal and paternal side lived within a mile of us, mm-hmm. especially when I was younger. It could get kind of annoying sometimes because you couldn't do anything wrong without an uncle or aunt seeing it and giving you a smack on the... We certainly were cousins. We were certainly very, very close. And and then cousins on my maternal side got to be friends and close with the cousins on the paternal side. It was really neat. I don't know about what it's like in Kuwait, but I know here in the States, because we become so much more mobile, those relationships aren't that's really unusual for a lot of kids to be that close to so many of their cousins.
Yes, it's the same here. I think it's a little more scarce here because you don't have much of extended families here. Like, I'm from India. So in India, you would see like how you described, mm-hmm. Like when we were younger. But now, like you said, it's more of, you know, there's no more like joint families. Everyone is busy with mobiles. And there's so much pressure for children as well. I feel they really miss out on what we've enjoyed in our childhood with mm-hmm. that, you know, even though we found it annoying at those days, but it's all treasured memories. Yeah.
You may, in your notes, you mentioned that this is an early chapter book. Can you describe a little bit about what that term means? We hear, and we have authors on who are writing middle grade books and YA titles and picture books, of course, but early chapter books are not books that we celebrate a lot here on the podcast. So can you talk a little bit about who the audience for this would be?
Right. So it comes in between the picture book and the middle grade books. Mm-hmm. So early chapter books is for children aged 5 to 11, 10 years, or 6 to 9, 5 to 10, up to 11 max. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where they have started reading by themselves. They've got over the picture books. I mean, no one gets over picture books. Even we like it at this age as well, but then, you know, you know what I mean. So they can, the text is a little more bigger. There's pictures within, and it's more simple language than when it compares to middle grade. There's mm-hmm. A little more simpler language. It's mm-hmm. it's like a stepping stone to the middle grade book.
Right. One of the things that I was surprised at, but it makes total sense, is that the language that you'll find in early chapter books is simpler than you would find in picture books, because picture books are written to be read by an adult to a kid.
Right. Yes, true.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Was that something that, as you're writing this book, did you have a list of words that you wanted to use, or make another list to make sure, well, we can't use that word for this level?
Right. So that was something that I do struggle with while writing, because you tend to write at our pace, right? So we have to actually step down to that level of a small child so that they can absorb what we want to put in. So yes, definitely when the editing, when I write the story, I just write it, trying to be as simple as I can. But when the editing happens, there is definitely a lot of underlines that I put in. Okay, this word might be too tough for the child. Whereas sometimes I do add in a little bit of, you know, some new words here and there because I feel they'll get in, you know, they learn something new as well, right? They'll be feel curious to ask their parent or find out what it is. Yeah. So, but yes, keeping it simple. Yes.
You mentioned a couple of times, and in fact, the title of the series, Cadence Faith Adventures. People are, I imagine, might be sitting back and say, okay, well, what faith are we talking about?
It's Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. So even, we talk about faith here, like I said, about trusting God in his decisions, because in today's world, we find children breaking apart so easily with pressures and when things go unexpected and to what they wanted. And they give in to, you know, they easily give in, succumb to depression, suicides and so on. So seeing that a lot around me felt that I should. So I'm a Sunday school teacher. So I teach the teenage students. But so I first thought I would write for teenage students. But then looking around, I felt it should start from small. And that's where I thought to target the little children, because I felt that if the faith is, the foundation is strong, it's built in, then as they grow up, you know, they can stand strong or withstand any kind of trial that comes their way. So in the book, like I've mentioned before, it's not like preachy Christian book. There are Bible verses that I put in, like, you know, in between like this, just to, you know, to for reference. Not like reference, but like you see at the start of a chapter, you put in a Bible quote as a verse there. So there are people from the other religions who have read the book, and they said, so I was a bit skeptical because, you know, it's a faith-based book. So I do say that. So when they read it, they said, we're so happy that it's nothing like, you know, you should practice Christianity. You should, you know, do this, do that. No, this is basically, it's anyone can read this. Anyone can benefit from this. And yes, it is a Christian book. And it mainly, it teaches through the daily relatable incidents and how to remain close to God, or how to develop that. It's not about that you go to church every week, stand up on a podium and preach. That's not just what Christianity is. That is also Christianity, but it's part of it. But what I'm saying is, as a small child, this is something that children have asked me. Okay, I'm not a priest. I'm not a person who goes and does prayer meetings. So then how do I practice Christianity, right? So this comes in from teenagers. So so the thing is, you can do good every day. You know, you don't have to, you know, like what I said, you don't have to preach or be talk. It comes in. So what I say is, it comes in your words, your deeds, your thoughts. So these three, if you can practice goodness, kindness, and, you know, the essential values that is so missing in today's world, you are actually practicing, you're becoming more like God. You are practicing Christianity. Yeah. So that is the essence of the story.
I certainly agree with you. If you're living kindly, treating others with respect and kindness and love and acceptance, you are, you're going to be a more effective preacher than somebody that's shouting and making a lot of noise.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, what you said is right. But at the same time, sermons are also required. But not children are too young to reach there, right? I mean, so at that, so it doesn't mean that I can only practice Christianity after I reach a certain age. So you start small, you have that, build that foundation, and you grow up, and you will do wonders, right? When you become a more empathetic, an individual that the world is so much in need today. So that's the theme behind it.
Yeah. This is of course, the Reading With Your Kids podcast. We're encouraging families to read together, co-read early chapter books and middle grade books with their kids and talk about it. What kind of conversations do you think families can have as they're talking about My Little Cousin?
So one of it is, especially with my little cousin, Amy is the little cousin who comes and stays at Caden's house. So she's missing her mom. Her mom is not well. So that's why she comes and stays here for a few weeks. So there are times when she feels she's completely alone, even though everyone is there, she's playing, all of that is there, but she's completely lonely. So how does Caden help her to feel, that she is loved and protected, so there is a number of conversations in that aspect. There is conversations that Caden has with his dad when he is struggling to adjust with Amy, because he has to give up on some things because she is there and he doesn't like it. And he finds it very annoying. And so there his father is giving some examples and, coaching him, helping him to think differently, mm-hmm. of how to be more empathetic and patient and kind and so on. So not in a preachy way, but then in a relatable way. So these are some of the examples that some parents have come back saying that, my child was saying, was asking, my first book, it was there showing what the purpose of life is. So children start asking that, oh, is this my purpose of life? How do I know what my purpose of life is? You are a bank, you work in a bank. So is that what your life purpose is? So there's a lot of room for conversation as to, what it means to be kind. What if I'm not kind? What is, how it impacts the other person, your words when you're being rude or just an action, how it hurts others, how you can be better. All these are some of the feedback that I've received also from the conversations that they have with the children. So I think every chapter has something that you can talk with your child.
Yeah. Let's tell everybody where they can go to find out more about My Little Cousin and the entire Cadence Faith Adventure series.
Right. So it is there on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And that is where the book is being sold. And here in Kuwait, in the Middle East, in some places, and in India as well, we have some bookshops, Christian bookstores, where the book is being it's available, but widely across the world it's on Amazon, and I'm active on Instagram and Facebook. So if anyone is interested, you could there are links in my bio, and they can reach out to me in that way as well.
Great. What's your handle on Instagram?
It's Lizzo16_author.
We've had a great time speaking to the author of My Little Cousin. It's an early chapter book from our guest, Elizabeth Lizzo. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you.
Hey, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Reading With Your Kids, and we really hope you'll join us for the next exciting episode of the show. If this episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, it would be really nice if you could share a link to the show with someone you love. Give them a chance to smile and think. We would also be very, very grateful if you could leave us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show wherever you find your favorite shows. And if you're listening to us on the WREB AMFM 24/7 radio network, let your local station manager know you really dig listening to Reading With Your Kids on their channel. If you'd like more Reading With Your Kids, please connect with us on social media. Facebook.com/ReadingWithYourKids, at Reading With Your Kids on Instagram, and at Jedley Magic on X. Our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/ReadingWithYourKids. And our website is ReadingWithYourKids.com. If you are an author of a great children's book, you absolutely want to go to ReadingWithYourKids.com. Click on the Authors Click Here button up at the top of the page to find out how you can be a guest here on the show. Being a guest, it's fun, it's easy, and it gives you the chance to tell thousands of KidLit fans all over the world about your fantastic children's book. Want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, Michelle McLean. Please be sure to check out her middle grade graphic novel, Abilities. Also want to thank Elizabeth Lizu. Please be sure to check out her early chapter book, My Little Cousin. Want to thank our sponsors. Remember, please, when you use our promo code READ, R-E-A-D, READ, you get a great discount, and we may earn a small commission, and that is very, very helpful to our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. Want to thank my team, Chris Daugherty, Joanne Lynn, Jackson Solitero. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the wonderful support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. You're amazing. You find ways to take care of your kid, to make them smile, to give them everything you need. Please remember, one of the best things that you can do for your kids is to read with them. That story time at night, that 20 minutes a night, it makes such a big difference in their life. And believe it or not, every time you read with your kids, you're making the world a better, more caring, more empathetic place. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.